News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Talk about this weather. That's good news. We've got the beginning of this week, most of the week, actually. And we're actually going to get kind of chilly Wednesday night, Thursday morning. We're talking about down around 42 degrees, which is the record low here in the city of Mobile for that date. So we might get there.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the areas north of Mobile will for sure be in the 30s, I would say.
Yep.
Mount Vernon, get ready.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold.
Brace yourself. So, you know, down on the border, we haven't really touched on this today, but it obviously continues to be quite the challenge, let's say. Crisis, challenge, whatever you want to call it. About 450 unaccompanied migrant girls, these are the young teens, 13 to 17, they were abruptly moved out of a U.S. housing facility in Houston Saturday, and that's less than 3 weeks after it opened. So that's a lot. That's 450 of them. Authorities have been mostly tight-lipped about the closure, but an advocate for immigrants claims it was because of some type of incident there Friday. That doesn't sound good.
No.
Ambulances and law enforcement vehicles were seen Friday night outside the facility, which is located near the international airport. And then Saturday morning, buses arrived to transport the girls, other reports said. And so where are they going? What's up? The girls at the Houston facility had been there since April the 1st, by the way. So you've got all these unaccompanied kids, and including girls, and then guys, I guess, to keep them separated. It's a lot of human concern.
Yeah.
And but why? Why is all this happening? And Ron DeSantis, he was on Fox yesterday, and he pointed right at Joe Biden.
It starts with, of course, him dismantling President Trump's policies to stop the flow of the illegal migrants across the southern border. What Donald Trump did worked. It was working. Joe Biden dismantled that, and now you have a huge catastrophe at the southern border. And, of course, that's going to have reverberations all across our country. So I think from really top to bottom, they failed. Biden has failed on dealing with illegal immigration and rule of law. When you talk about the issues of releasing convicted criminal aliens into American communities, there's unfortunately going to be additional victims. And that is just totally unacceptable.
Ron DeSantis yesterday on with Maria
Bartiromo.
Bartiromo. Can't ever get that right. She should say her name more often during the show. So I'm reminded on exactly how to say it. President Biden has scrapped a number of former President Trump's immigration policies, obviously, and there's no way getting around the fact that they're overwhelmed with what's going on down there and not prepared to deal with it.
Yeah, and politically, that is for sure Biden's biggest loser to this point, at least across partisan lines, because, you know, Republicans will tell you, well, nothing that Biden has done has been outstanding. I think a lot of conservatives not happy with the amount of money that's being spent or the rhetoric, really, from the top down. Remember, Biden was supposed to be a uniter. He ran on that, and not much work across the aisle, at least through these first few months of his presidency. But the border is definitely, at least according to polling, his biggest loser so far. Quinnipiac has a new national poll out there. They talked to Republicans, talked to Democrats, and talked to independents. 29% of Americans say they approve of the job that Biden's doing on the border. You wonder what those 29% of people are.
What are they looking at?
Yeah, what are they paying attention to? 55% said they do not approve of Biden's job on the border, and 15% had no opinion. You break that down into sides, 9 in 10 Republicans and 2/3 of independents say that Biden is not doing a good job on the border. Democrats, 58% approve, 21% disapprove. Now, it's been almost a month since Biden put the vice president, Kamala Harris, in charge of the border. Remember, he kind of passed it off to her and said she's going to be taking care of this. And they have they called it a crisis yet? I know the press secretary, Jennifer Psaki, accidentally used the term crisis at one point and then walked that back. The administration being very careful to not say anything of the sort. You know, it's no big problem down there. Even changing the words from it's no longer kids in cages, it's overflow migrant facilities. And they've opened a number of those and have kids going as far away as, well, they've been taking them to states surrounding above, you know, border states.
Like Oklahoma?
But didn't Dallas get a good 3,000 migrant children, migrant boys in one conference center that they had there? So polling out showing that, that Biden not doing the best job on the border. But another interesting poll, have you seen, of course, they've been talking about Matthew McConaughey, the actor, possibly getting into politics. He had this book that came out, a self-authorized, I guess it'd be an autobiography that he had come out.
Yeah, a Green Light.
Lights, yeah. And I read it, great book. But
was it an instructional book? Like, here's how I live my life. And
So what McConaughey did, he took years of journaling.
Okay.
I guess he's been writing in journals since he was at least in his 20s, maybe even earlier than that. And he said he holed himself up in this house with no cell signal, brought his own water, like, canteen. Like, he brought gallons and gallons of water. That's how remote of a place he was staying. Didn't even have running water. And just kind of looked over all of his journals over the years and wrote a biography / self-help book, an autobiography. And now I guess the talk of him getting into politics is becoming somewhat serious, because another poll out there that shows, and this was a poll that they held over party lines, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, and McConaughey has 45% of these voters in this Dallas Morning News poll said they would vote for him compared to the current governor, Abbott. 45% said they would vote for McConaughey over Abbott, and 33% said they would vote for Abbott over McConaughey. 22% said they would vote for neither of the two. They would vote for someone else, but that's pretty big polling numbers for some celebrity.
When did it become okay for non-career politicians to launch themselves into major campaigns and try to get really major offices? Like, you know, they don't shoot for Secretary of State.
Right.
They for instance, Jenner wants to be the governor of California.
Right, Caitlin
maybe
Jenner.
So you shoot to become Barkley for governor. We've heard that before, right here in Alabama. When was it, and certainly Trump for president. I mean,
that's where the major shift began. Well, I mean, you had Reagan.
You had
in the 80s.
Reagan. That's a good point. Well,
but he was governor.
His political career, yeah. So he became governor that might be the first one. Then you had the wrestler up in Minnesota was the governor.
Yeah.
Then you had Schwarzenegger was the governor of California.
Ventura was the Minnesota governor.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's becoming more and more in vogue. Like, hey, man, you want the job? Put together a campaign? We might vote you in.
Yeah. Well, and McConaughey's kind of doing the, oh, you know, I'd be honored. I'd be honored if they did that, but I don't know if that's in the cards. But it seems like that's becoming more serious. The name that was always thrown out there for president, even before Trump, was Oprah, right? Everyone was wondering when or if Oprah would run for president, and I still see her name mentioned often. But I tell you, the big celebrity name, other than McConaughey and other than Trump, who, of course, now I guess you could consider a politician, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Even his entire, there's a sitcom about him on NBC, and the entire premise is that he's running for president. And he actually gets good numbers in polls, too.
People like The Rock.
They do.
They like The Rock. It's 15 minutes after 8 o'clock. FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwood, turning up your voice, 343-0106. Give us a call. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwich, 821. Really a good-looking day, man. South's got a doubleheader today. If you're among the unemployed or you're retired or you got a little time in the middle of the day, you can sneak out to Stanky. Because the weather was a mess over the weekend, so they had one game last night. Doubleheader today beginning at noon.
That's right. The Raging Cajuns are in town.
So feel free to text us whatever you want, but we were having a discussion, Dalton and I, Leanna, about the celebrities who have run for office, not a lot of politics in their background, and they run on their name.
Just, sheer popularity.
So, unnamed texter reminds me of Gopher from The Love Boat, and I think that he was a congressman in Iowa.
That's right.
I don't think he still is, right?
I don't believe so. Frederick Lawrence Grandy. Grandy, they call him.
Played Gopher on Love Boat. And I don't think a lot of celebrities run for office and get beat. Like, if you can remember a celebrity that ran for office and had a failed campaign where they didn't win, but most of them get in.
Who are
some of the celebrities? Feel free to ring us up or text us of celebrities that you know that have held office. And like Fred, now he's more of a local celebrity right there. I mean, he was on a national show, but he didn't have the
he couldn't have carried the number in the nation.
No, he didn't have what it would take to win a national office.
How about Gary Coleman? Didn't he win office? Didn't he? Gary Coleman. I know he ran for something. I feel like he won office, like as a. Was he? He wasn't a congressman. I can't remember that.
I don't remember Gary Coleman.
I think Gary Coleman ran for office.
Really?
If I remember correctly, somebody can. Here you go. He ran. He ran for governor the same time that Schwarzenegger ran for governor in California.
Coleman
finished eighth.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So not all. Greg reminds us of Sonny Bono.
Ah.
Cher's one time husband, Sonny Bono. I think he was some sort of a. Representative congressman in the state of California, mm-hmm. I think, just represented a district. Clint Eastwood.
That's right, yeah.
Mayor of Carmel, California.
Yeah, that's the toughest gig in politics right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Mayor of Carmel.
You're harassed by people with parking tickets.
Right, and we're talking about, you know, celebrities, actors that want to become politicians.
Mm-hmm.
So many of our politicians are, let's be honest,
actors.
Already actors.
Yes, they are.
So it makes sense. It's almost like a lateral move for some of these people. As long as they're told what to say, I'll tell you, if there's some kind of national emergency, as long as they have a script in front of them, an actor will nail that part pretty much every time.
Agreed.
Meanwhile, actual... You know, presidents and other politicians, they get up there and they make one goof or one slip up when they're trying to talk to the nation. That's all she wrote for them. Every time.
Al Franken, we're reminded. Mm-hmm. He was Saturday Night Live, and then he went down in the Me Too scandal.
He did,
and
yes.
You know, if you review exactly what Al Franken did and you look back to the, the fire was so hot at that time. If you touched a woman... below the shoulder blade, you had something coming to you.
Well, he was almost like the Democrat sacrificial lamb in the Me Too movement.
Yep.
Because, Republican after Republican was dropping. And then they were like, Al Franken, his name's up there. Why aren't you letting him go? And then they did.
He did. Oh, another one just occurred to me. John Glenn.
He was
a famous astronaut.
Okay.
And he ended up to be a congressman in Ohio.
That's right. And Dan points out Kane from the WWE, Glenn Jacobs. I think he's like, isn't he mayor of Knoxville or something like that? He's a politician in Tennessee. I can't remember.
Really?
Yeah. So they are out there, a lot of them. But this kind of centers off the McConaughey running for governor of Texas story we had earlier. By the way, also Dan puts that he is now the record holder for the blazing wings challenge at Buffalo Wild Wings. He said he ate 10 blazing, which I think that's the hottest they have. 10 blazing Carolina Reaper wings in 2 minutes 29 seconds.
That's crazy.
New belt holder.
I've done the celebrity wing eating contest at, I think it was at, back in the day, it was at Baumhauer's, and failed miserably. I think our district attorney was among those.
Ashley Rich.
Ashley also was in the contest with me, and she smoked me.
Well, would you actually try to beat the district attorney in a contest?
Somebody
she
did.
She could hold your fate in her hands. Pretty easily.
I'm law-abiding, Dalton. I don't know what you've heard, but I'm not standing in front of a judge anytime soon.
Well, speaking of law-abiding, currently it is, I don't know if it's technically illegal to gamble on sports. I know it's illegal to take bets on sports in the state of Alabama. That could change with this lottery casino sports gaming bill that has now passed out of the Senate. It was not last week, right? The week prior that this passed through the Senate, and now it heads to the House. And it was a clean lottery bill sponsored by Senator Jim McClendon, and they added onto it before the Senate passed it through a couple of different amendments that would also legalize casino gaming in a number of locations, including the dog track right here in Mobile and Theodore. And also it would legalize sports betting, too. And, Jeff Poore has been doing such a great job getting representatives state senators on to discuss this gaming bill. And from beginning to end, from Del Marsh's failed gambling bill early in the session to this one that's about to maybe make its way through the House, Jeff's done a great job of keeping us up to date on that. I know Mike Kaysen with AL.com put up a really good explainer for what exactly this bill entails.
Sports betting?
The entire thing.
Okay.
Lottery,
okay.
Sports betting, and casino gaming, and you know where the money will go. So starting with the lottery, if it is legalized and Alabamians vote for it on the 2022 ballot, yeah, it would be in next year's elections, at least a half of a percentage of the funds coming in from lottery ticket sales, they would put at least a half of a percentage towards gambling trouble, gambling addiction help.
I was going to get into that because so many, I think a lot more people gamble than I'm even aware of.
I think so.
But I do know there's a lot of parents out there, and I don't want to get old, you know, parents are wringing their hands over all this, but there are a lot of parents that are concerned about their college-age kids, maybe a little bit older than that, you know, younger adults. They're gambling a lot of money,
yeah.
And they think that they've got it all figured out because they follow sports so closely. You gamble a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me. I don't know. I don't have that itch.
Right.
So how prevalent is gambling? Say from when you were in your early 20s, when you were still in college, just getting out of college. People around you. How many people gambled a lot?
A lot. You know, I've never been around many high rollers. Mm-hmm. People throwing around thousands of dollars.
You know anybody that's ever gotten in trouble with it? Where they got behind and they got to...
Well, I've had family members in the past that have had issues of their own. But as far as friends, people my age that have lost it all from gambling,
really?
No, not really.
Okay.
Most of the people I know, including me, I've found out, and I've really been, you know, sports gambling is kind of my... I'm fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fascinated by it forever. And it's kind of like playing the stock market. And now, this is just regarding sports. This isn't regarding table games or lottery or anything
right.
like that. But with sports gaming, the best of the best win maybe 55% of the time, anywhere from 55 to 57% of the time, the top sports gamblers overall will win about that much.
Really?
You only break even, really, after 52.5%. So if you're winning every other game, if you're only basically flipping a coin, you're going to come out a loser in the long run.
Sure.
It's a game that so many people think they can get in and beat. Just like you said, so many young college kids who've been watching sports forever, what they don't realize is the game is almost in a way...
Rigged.
Rigged. Almost.
So I could certainly understand if a young person was trying to salvage a weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's had a bad Friday, a bad Saturday. Now he's going to put more chips on the line,
right.
if you will, for Sunday. That's where the trouble
it is,
right?
Sunday night football, Sunday night baseball, that's some of the biggest winners of the week normally for these sports books. I'll tell you where that money would go
okay.
if they do legalize sports
okay.
game.
On the way. FM Talk 106.5, thanks for all the texts, by the way. Feel free to call 343-0106. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings.
Hey, 35 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Man, it is a sunny, nice morning here on the Gulf Coast. And sometimes I like to just come over to the lot, take a stroll, and see what kind of vehicles you have out there at McConnell.
That's right. We've got them. I mean, we've got Infinities, Mercedes, Lexus, all those used cars. You can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. You know, I want to thank everybody for coming in this weekend. I know it was raining Saturday, but we were busy, and like I said, want to appreciate everybody come in and give us the opportunity to sell them a vehicle and take care of their service needs and everything. And we're kind of a one-stop shop, body shop, service needs and everything. But if you got any questions on anything online, call the dealership, 476-4141. Ask for Gene, and he'll tell you anything about used cars. Ask for Robert about new car, and we're going to have a great day today. Looks like we'll have a great week, so y'all come check them out.
Good stuff. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Going to get back to our conversation about gaming and gambling, which Delta knows a lot more about than I would. Remind her, as you continue to let us know, what celebrities have held public office or at least run for it. Jerry Springer was the mayor of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
What a kangaroo court that must have been.
How did that happen?
How does it happen? That's the thing.
Yeah.
They want an outlier. They want somebody who they understand their personality. They don't understand their policy. They're just like, yeah, put him in there.
Well, and name recognition is so important.
Right.
But I think sometimes we maybe, in the bigger races, overvalue name recognition. But let's just take the most recent one for our state, Tommy Tuberville.
That's a great point.
You know, he's
right
senator
under our
now,
nose.
But you can't say that just name recognition, just sheer popularity, powered him through to win that Senate race.
No.
He played the game the right way, the right way to win anyway.
Yep, I agree.
You know, you could have a discussion whether politically you like what Tommy Tuberville stands for, but he played the game the right way and won that Senate seat by far more than just his last name and his popularity within the state. But
good point.
You have to think so many of these names were purely popularity reasons for their wins.
And people sick and tired of the same old, same old. I mean, that's how Donald Trump got in.
Mm-hmm.
But in a municipality, in a city, Dalton, think about that, how they're just like, I've had it with our mayor and our council. Put the guy from Love Boat in. Well, he's a congressman, but you know, put Jerry Springer in there.
Put Matthew McConaughey in. It's time.
Yeah.
Jace and others point out here, Jerry Springer, I guess, was mayor before the Jerry Springer
show. Oh, was
show.
He? Okay.
Yeah, so he waited to lower his standards until after he was the mayor of Cincinnati, I guess. So there you go. Keep those texts coming in because I'm sure we've missed a number of popular politicians who were popular before they became politicians. But we were talking about this gambling bill and where we go from here. Someone asked on the text line, who was it? Brian, he said, I wonder what the betting line is for the gambling bill passing. You know, what are the odds? And
I don't know if there was a joke or not.
No, I think he really wants to know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think there are any actual betting lines out there, but what are the odds? I would not be the best person to ask that. Jeff Poor has been on top of this for the longest time. He thinks that most likely, and again, I'm using Jeff Poor's words here, or that I can recall. I don't know if he said most likely, but he thinks this won't be settled during the legislative session, that more likely Governor Ivey will call a special session later this year to take care of the lottery, casino gambling, gaming, and sports gambling, that the House maybe won't pass it through.
How many items will be on the ballot as this sits right now? Will it be a simple yes or no vote for the entire package?
That's the way I understand it. Yeah, that's the way I understand it. And Sean talked with Danny Sheridan, of course, well-known odds maker, well-known handicapper from Mobile, who's been in national publications for decades now. And he said, you know, this would be much better if it was three separate
choices
on the ballot.
Yep.
If you had lottery on one line, casino gaming on the next line, and sports gaming on the third line.
But that kind of defeats the purpose of how they put this thing together in a certain way to satisfy
as many people as they can, right? And the lottery is one thing, and casino gaming an entirely different thing because you have so many different competing interests for who holds what stake in the slot machines are the big winners here. If you look at monthly breakdowns for Vegas or Jersey, now that they have so many more games up there, by far the biggest winner for every casino is penny slots. It outranks everything by usually hundreds of millions of dollars in Vegas. And sports gaming, surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, is one of the least big winners for casinos.
Really?
Because it's way closer to 50-50.
Okay.
Those penny slots.
Yeah, they just take you apart.
Yeah, and that's only worse odds, I would say, than probably the lottery. Because, I mean, it's right there in the name. Lottery, your chances of winning that, very low.
So 1988, I think, was the year that I was flown to Las Vegas, and I was being prospected for a job out there. And I remember the game. It was USC against Notre Dame, but we walked into one of the casinos, and one of the, it was, you know, gaming for the, on the game. I mean, you were not, nobody in that place. It was a giant TV, like way different. There was like panels, so it was separated by different panels, and it all became one big picture. First time I'd ever seen anything like that. But that game wasn't on because, hey, let's watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
Heck no. Everybody was betting on that game, and that's when it really hit me, like, wow. It, and it being a legal enterprise in Las Vegas, and maybe Atlantic City at that time were the only two cities where it was legal.
Yeah, and at that time, Atlantic City may have only allowed parlays.
Okay.
There have been some places that have legalized it, but you can only play game parlays, which means more than one correction has to be right. You have to hit on two or three of your gambling guesses. And that's also, again, worse odds than just betting on games. But back then, you could either legally gamble in Vegas or maybe Atlantic City.
Right.
But there were bookies everywhere,
Of course, of course.
Now the game has changed so much because of the internet that, and I'll tell you, I'll be honest about it, I've been able to play these games online for well over a decade now at this point. And there are still, you know, bookies out there that, illegal bookies still taking bets out there. People are going to find a way to game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can, one way or the other, you can say that you don't like how this money from the gaming bill will eventually, where it will turn up, what they want to put the money into, or maybe you don't like who will control the game when it comes to the actual casinos, but you can't say that this will, that people will not gamble if there's no gaming allowed.
No,
because there hasn't been gaming allowed.
They've always gambled.
And Danny Sheridan has said that Alabama is likely one of the most sports betting likely states. Like, more money probably comes out of Alabama gambling on sports than any other state.
Because of football?
I think it's because Alabama's so popular, Auburn so popular, and really just football in general.
Here's the thing, though. Say somebody does have an issue with it, right? You could find a bookie if you want to. If you want to bet, you're going to bet. I get that. But just the fact that it's just a device in the palm of your hand, you can bet as you can do it as quickly and seamlessly as you want to, if you're somebody that knows how to get online and do all that.
Right.
Which somebody that is a gambler knows how to do all that. That's the thing that's a little bit frightening, is that it's so simple. It's just right there in the palm of your hand. If you want to do something that might be hurting your life, because if somebody's got a problem with it, there's no escape. There, it's there every day in front of them, unless they want to deactivate. Or, you see what I'm saying?
It's a real problem if there are people out there having
struggle with it.
And I know that that's a fact. That's something that is happening. I also think it's happening with it being illegal here in Alabama. And that by legalizing it, you could argue that they will be able to put more money towards programs that help problematic gamblers. But it'll also, I'm not oblivious. I think it'll create problems with people that may have never had a gaming problem if it hadn't been legalized in the state.
Right.
But I just think this,
making it that accessible.
But it is already so accessible. I think people are having that problem, or at least able to gamble within the state without the state getting any money returned. And I think that's what the thing here. All of this is happening whether or not Alabama legalizes it. How can the state capitalize for its citizens in the most effective manner by legalizing this? And are they doing that with this bill? Is the money going into the right places?
So you poison the food, and then you build more hospitals. A little bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 845 FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:50. Don't forget the name Knox Boatler, Matt Richardson, Mark Wolf. They are Boatler, Richardson, Wolf. They are an excellent local team of attorneys here in Mobile. They're Dalton and I-65. You can't get any more convenient than that. Right there off the interstate, the glistening Bancorp South building. There they are. So give them a visit. You might want to call or text ahead of time. If you've got some sort of a claim going on and you're not exactly sure what you might be due, they can work it out for you. Give them a call or a text. That first consultation, by the way, when you sit down with them, visit their office, that's not going to cost you anything. That's simply a free consultation to sort everything out and then see where you go from there. I like these guys. You can trust them. They're local, and they're not about to do anything that is, in any way going to do any harm to you. They're just going to find out if you, in fact, have got a claim. 433-7766, and they do this all the time, so they understand the law so well. 433-7766. And if you can leave a message or leave a text at that message, that number as well, you can do that. And if you visit their website, I think you're going to like it a lot. And it'll tell you a lot about these guys. BRWLawyers.com. A lot of information on the firm itself. BRWLawyers.com. So again, when a legal issue related to an injury or workers' compensation or any kind of insurance claim, it's Boatler, Richardson, Wolf at 433-7766.
All right, coming up in the Jeff Poor Show, State Senator David Sessions will join Jeff in the first hour. He is one of the senators to change his vote from the Del Marsh-sponsored gaming bill last month from a no then to a yes now with Senator McClendon's gaming bill. Jeff will ask Senator Sessions why he changed his vote, I'm sure, and speak about a lot more that's happening in Montgomery. In the second hour, Dale Jackson with WVNN coming in with some hot takes. And the third hour, State Representative Tracy Estes and Ashley Trice from Lanyap will be joining the Jeff Poor Show. And reminder, this coming Wednesday morning, Mayor Sandy Stimson will be joining Dan and I on Mobile Mornings. And Dan, we got so much to talk with the mayor about, whether it's the CDC still halting the cruises, the cruise lines, and what that means for our city. A surprising amount of money comes into the city from the Carnival cruise being based here. Also, of course, the crime rate in Mobile. And we have a mayoral race coming up later this year. He's also the head of the Mobile Metropolitan Planning Organization, which just laid out the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. So any questions you have for Mayor Stimson, shoot them to us, and we'll try to get them asked at 343-0106.
Amtrak as well.
Amtrak, yeah.
Also, Sessions, he may talk a little bit about what's going on with his rain because, of course, he's in the farming business as well, the family farm. At Sessions Farm over the weekend, tomatoes, cucumbers, watermelon, cantaloupe now plotted in pools of water. They said if Mother Nature doesn't let up soon, they're going to have to start from the ground up again, which could set them back anywhere from a week to 10 days. But anyway, all this rain in South Mobile County and also across the way in Baldwin County is really affecting local farmers and local produce. So just heads up, it's a real deal. It's a real problem.
Yeah.
You think about the effects of this rain. It's more than just the flooding in town, but it's for the farmers, it's not a good thing.
Well, it was so dry for so long.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's nature, human nature, I guess, that it would pull up after that. You know, this weekend, we were going to try to go to a horse show and put the sweaty baby on another horse this weekend.
I love that idea.
But, you know, weather got in the way. So we ended up not doing that. Instead, we decided, as a family, to, on Saturday, go to Meridian, Mississippi, of all places. They just opened this children's museum, they call it there. And it's a really cool, fun place for little kids to play. Like, a lot of stuff for them to do. They just opened it in Meridian, and my wife had heard about it through a friend, and so we made the trip.
Is that a two-hour drive?
It was just over 2 hours.
Wow.
But, you know, if you're going to Meridian, Mississippi, there's several ways you can get there, but the main way is going up Highway 45, and we talked so much over the last 2 weeks about how deadly Highway 45 is. Representative Shane Stringer was on with Sean Sullivan and spoke about that quite a bit.
How did it feel to you?
It's been a long time since I've been on 45. I think the last time I was on 45 was just to get up to Citronelle for something, maybe.
Not much has changed.
Not a lot at all. Yeah. And Sean, who travels that road much more than I do, he was right on. And Representative Stringer, it truly is. When you hit the Mississippi line, it goes from 2-lane to 4-lane, just like that. I mean, it's instant. And I guess it's that same way all the way up through Chicago, Illinois, four lane all the way down until you get to Alabama. On our way there, we got stuck behind two RVs. Now, this is 9 o'clock in the morning, and it really is 2-lane all the way to the state line.
An occasional passing lane every now and then. There's a third lane.
Very fairly, not often at all.
Okay.
I want to say if you're going towards Mississippi on 45, there's maybe two chances with an extra lane to pass.
Okay.
There's more on the way back, but not much, maybe three or four. But even your opportunity to pass over the line using the other lane, that's limited and dangerous.
Yep.
Thankfully, the weather wasn't awful when we went. I certainly used the dotted lines to pass those RVs after a time. But it's been so long since I've been on 45, I wanted to give that another ride. But the funniest thing about this weekend, Sweaty Baby has a great time at the Children's Museum, and mask wearing was maybe 50-50. half people wearing them, half not.
In the museum?
In the museum, in Mississippi, really, as a whole, mm-hmm. the time we spent up there. But we went to what is known as Mississippi's oldest restaurant. The name of the place is Weidman's, okay? And kind of a little too upscale for me.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking $15 hamburgers here. But we made it happen.
Wow.
We made it work. I got the burger. What was funny is two women sitting next to us at this restaurant, and the waiter was cleaning off their table. It was almost like a Sunday after church group of
yeah.
people that were there, even
yeah.
though this was a Saturday.
Right.
And so these women were in really nice dresses. And a young male waiter, who was also waiting on us, he goes to clean off their table as they're waiting for their pie. And I missed exactly how it happened, but I think some dressing was starting to fall off of one of the plates, and he's holding it above their table, and it falls. And all I see is one woman has a little dressing on her arm, so I'm like, oh, that stinks for that guy. He's not going to get a tip. The other woman sitting next to her had dressing covering her entire face.
Oh,
he flipped this Thousand Island dressing into covered her face.
Oh my gosh.
Completely, I have never seen such a fail from a waiter. And he was instantly so regretful and so apologetic. It was so painful to watch. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I mean, when I say dressing covered her face, her entire face, and she was going somewhere nice. She was wearing a really nice dress, may have even been, you know, a funeral or on her way back from funeral. Said she had another 3-hour drive from there. This kid was so heartbroken. I think they ended up giving the both of them a completely free meal. All it took was a full container of dressing to the face.
How big a container of dressing could fall? Because dressing's usually like...
This wasn't a little container.
Cup.
We're talking like a full-on miniature bowl
of dressing.
So it was
like a Carol Burnett show moment where she ended up with dressing all over her face?
Yeah. And
wow.
She was so mean. So upset.
Was she really?
She was terrible to the waiter.
Wow.
But he might have deserved it after that.
Sweaty Baby was over there judging the whole thing like, no, man, you ain't getting no tip now.
Nah, she was just dumping a box of goldfish on the ground.
Jeff Farr on the way, 859 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton. We'll do it again tomorrow morning.